Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student-athletes. I'm Jim Galante, and speaking of HVU, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana, back with us, back in the saddle. Great to have you, Mike.
Oh, it's great to be back, Jim. After that game, got a lot to talk about, got a lot of football to talk about finally.
We really did, and it is great to talk football. Now, we did get together last Friday at Buffalo Wild Wings, which is always fun. It's me, you, Chris Buchanani. Buffalo Wild Wings, a cool place. I always go in early, make sure I get lunch before we record in the afternoon. A great place to spend Friday afternoons. We're there before home games. And even better, Mike, I got to meet your family.
Yeah, they came. They wanted to come check it out. I actually told them not to. We're going to be done around 4, and my wife texted me while we were on the show at 3:30, and she's like, Cam wants to come. She's about to put up a fit. I was like, okay, come on over. And then they came, and we got to meet them, and they think it's all, it's really cool, like hearing us on the radio and seeing that set up. That's cool for them. So it was really cool. Appreciate you and Chris having me back, especially after, the month of uncertainty and, everything going on. And it was good. It was good to be back and talk some ball and talk football. It felt really good.
It really was. It was great to have you back. We talked mostly about the situation, building a program, the new coach going to have to come in. So that was great for them. It was great to see the family. We'll say hello, since we're on the air, to Dominic and Cameron. Yeah, she's definitely daddy's little girl. We saw that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And people always say, the girls are different, but until you have one, you really don't understand how they wrap you up. I thought I was going to be the tough dad. I'm not even tough on my son now. Like, I gotta toughen up.
You know what? No, you can never be tough with your little girl. One day you'll be tough with your son, and that's important. Yep. But not with your little girl, Mike. Yeah. That's never going to happen with Cameron.
And segue into the game, I don't know if the audience knows, but I'm usually doing a lot of different things during the game, so I don't get to watch the game until usually after the game's actually over. I'm helping organized with the 50-50 stuff going on, and then I also have a gang of interns that are doing all kinds of content things. And but yesterday I was actually able to organize it, so the second half, or really kind of after the first quarter, I was able to go up, sit up with the family, and me and Tiff looked at each other, and it was funny because we were like, when's the last time we actually got to watch a game together? And with my son and my daughter there too. It was awesome. It was awesome. I didn't realize how tight that is from each seat. I'm a taller guy. I'm around 6'3". So, I'm very aware of my surroundings. I definitely don't ever want to be rude. And so I just felt like I had to like be kind of sideways on the seat. So it wasn't like my knees were in the back of the people in front of me, and then you could tell like the people in back of me were trying not to be. It's just I didn't realize how tight it was, but regardless, it was awesome. It was a really good time to be up there and see the game from there, and look at my son, my Cameron, and with the music, the Lionettes, the band, and all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
Well, a couple things. First of all, I thought it was a great atmosphere for the game, considering everything going on. I was talking to folks in the press box. It's like, okay, we're back to this being a fun experience here in Beaver Stadium. Mm-hmm. It was exciting. It was fun. And the other part you mentioned about it being tight in the bleachers, and I read this. I assume it's true. You know how there's Michigan Stadium and Beaver Stadium close over, I guess, Michigan. They call it the bigger stadium because it has the larger capacity. But I understand in their bleachers are actually like their bleacher seats are like an inch smaller than those at Beaver Stadium. So they're able to cram in a couple thousand extra people, but it's actually tighter than what we have in those bleachers. So, yes, I remember the days of, you know, somebody's knees in your back. The only thing worse is it was still a pretty nice day weather-wise. When it gets to those really cold days, like in late November, and everyone's bundled up with the extra coat on, it gets even tighter, Mike. So in a couple of weeks, they play Nebraska at home. You might get a chance to experience it. But let's actually talk about this game. First of all, Mike, there's no such thing anymore as moral victories. This is big-time football. It's big business. There's no moral victories. But with that said, during this losing streak, I'll put it this way. I thought Penn State lost to Oregon, to UCLA, to Iowa, to Northwestern. This game, I didn't feel it was so much they lost. It was like a really good Indiana team won this game.
Yeah, there was – you could pick at, you know, little things after, you know, watching the film on both sides. But it was a good game. It was a phenomenal game, good back and forth. It was, you know, a chess match between both teams. You know, and we'll talk about it, some of the things that we did. But it was good to see, you know, Nick, Katron, the run game kind of step up a little bit. I think one of the biggest things that I took from it, and I know it's not a moral victory, but – seeing Ethan Grunkemeyer when he has time, he is he could be a dude. I think you know, he didn't have a lot of design run plays for him, but that's a skill set that he has that will definitely help us down the line. But when it came to passing the ball, when he did pass it down the field, he made some really big time throws. You know, there's some throws that I think he wish he could have back, especially at that end of the game when he threw it in the hole to Devontae, and I was hoping that Devontae was going to be able to pull that down. But if he throws out a little bit earlier, we get that. And then, you know, potentially maybe we have a field goal to tie the game up. But, yeah, when he had some time in the pocket, I thought he made some really good throws. He looked comfortable in the pocket when he had time. He was able to get that quick release. And, you know, everybody knows he has a strong arm. So he can make all the throws. And that ball comes out of his hand really, really good too. So I got to – for me, like, I'm a big Grunk fan. I'm just a fan of him as a person, how he kind of, you know, conducts himself, especially, you know, being the number two behind Drew. But I think we have something really special there potentially with Gronk.
Well, you hit on two of my pet peeves, and any of our listeners who've watched or listened to our show over the last couple of years, they've heard me with these pet peeves, and I'm going to bring them up. That number one, and I talked about this all the time, Drew Aller, when they'd run the plays, the read option or whatever, where the quarterback, the design of the play is the quarterback has an option to run. And Mike thought, well, there were games when I would keep track of it, Mike. I would take notes on it, where they would run that type of play 15 times, and 15 out of 15 times the ball was handed off to the running back.
Yeah.
If I'm this idiot up, you know, in the press box watching the game and I'm noticing it, I suspect defensive coordinators are noticing it also. So I did notice that, and I wondered about it, and I wondered if the back – Drew Aller obviously out, the backup quarterback being out now. It's Ethan or nobody. It's Grunk or nobody almost. So you can't risk getting him hurt. I was wondering if the coaching staff may have even said, hey, look, we can't put you in a position to get hurt, that we can't be doing this.
Yeah, I think you can look at it a couple different ways because we just don't know the actual play call, right, and the variances based off the play call. Because I know sometimes you can call those read option plays, but it's an automatic give, right? Like they know, hey, you're calling this read option, you're going to give that motion, but you're giving it no matter what. You know, I wish he would have pulled it maybe a couple more times to keep, you know, those backside defenders a little bit more honest. That or that defensive end or whoever that linebacker was that was keying the quarterback would be more honest to the quarterback rather than, you know, commit to the running back. You saw that happen a couple times where he just fully committed to the running back, and they made the side on the backside. But, you know, he did hold him on that big play that Nick had, that huge run that he had in the third quarter. It's because Ethan did a really good job with that exchange and held that defensive end. And that, you know, the offensive line obviously blocked it up pretty well. But holding that defensive end allowed Nick to get out and have a huge play.
Well, you make a good point about it being the call on the play is to give the ball to the running back. But I think if you're going to, I don't want to say build your offense around it, but it's going to be a major part of your offense, you got to at least make the defense stay honest.
Yeah.
And have the quarterback keep it a few times. The other pet peeve that I've had through these first couple weeks with Grunkmeyer as the starting quarterback, Mike, is that oftentimes I feel like coaches, gee, we got a new young quarterback in. We've got to protect him. We have him throwing very safe passes. I get that, but I don't think you're actually doing the quarterback favors because, again, those guys on the other side of the ball, they're kind of smart too. And they're going to take note that, gee, you're not passing the ball beyond the line of scrimmage. You know, a week ago, the numbers were ridiculous. All of the passing yards were yards after catch. The number was ridiculous. And I think, again, just even to keep people honest, let the quarterback throw the ball some down the field. Lo and behold, they did that and found out, gee, this kid actually can throw the ball, can't he, Mike?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, when he has time in the pocket and, you know, consistently, and he can get more confident in the pocket, because I think he has a really good demeanor already. He doesn't look nervous when he is in there. But he made some really good shots, you know, in some holes. You know, that interception wasn't a great, great throw. He probably wishes he had that one back and that got tipped. But he made some shots that, you know, that were big time to me. And I like I said earlier, I think, you know, the future is bright with Gronk, especially as he gets comfortable. And remember, Terry said it in the post game, just went against the number one and number two team in the country back to back. It's not an excuse. I'm not saying that, but that is pretty, that's pretty tough for your first couple games as a starter in big time college football.
Well, considering, yes, you played number one and number two, I'm not sure it gets any tougher than that for back-to-back games. All right, Mike, that's it for quarter one. We're going to keep talking football when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Rebel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to RebelXP.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student-athletes. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director over at Happy Valley United. Mike, we're talking football, which is just fantastic. And I wanted to finish the conversation up that we were talking about with Ethan Grunkmeyer. And we were saying about, okay, does it get tougher playing against number one and number two? And not only that, but number two, who you just got done playing in Indiana, they have a Heisman Trophy candidate over there. Okay. I don't know if you took a close look at the numbers after the game. This is phenomenal how close statistically Mendoza and Grunkmeyer were. Mendoza was 19 of 30, one interception for 218 yards and one touchdown. Grunkmeyer, 22 for 31, 219 yards and one interception. So actually one more yard passing for Grunkmeyer. He very much held his own in this game against the number two team in the country.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, we're going to be singing the praises of Gronk, and I think the fans are excited about him too. But, yeah, when you're comparing stats, they were comparable. But Fernando is a dude. He's legit big. He is a deceptively sneaky athletic. He is very calm. Like, what the difference between him is, like, and a lot of other quarterbacks, some quarterbacks just don't have it, right? And I always talk to you guys about it.
Yes.
About it. And, like, that's what I see in Gronk now. Like, he's doing some things, like, oh, he has it. Like, you can go through the recruiting process, the film and practice and everything, and the guy looks amazing. But when the lights are on, you know, it's not always – it doesn't always translate. And quarterbacks have to have that. I talk to the hack about it all the time when we're just, you know, catching up. And that Fernando has it. He when the pocket breaks down, he doesn't get nervous. He's able to move around the pocket and make throws on the run. He doesn't look like he has like a huge big arm, but the ball comes out smooth and he gets it there. He made every big time throw that he could possibly make. And then the other thing that was huge, not to get off topic, but the number 80, I forget his name. He, I think, had seven catches all year. And then he had seven catches yesterday. And those catches he made were huge, especially that last catch that he had around the 5 or the 10-yard line before that unbelievable catch. But that was all set up by that number 80. And he also had one in the beginning of the half that was a huge catch that where King Mack – hit Mendoza's arm, and he was still able to get it out. And then 80 makes that huge big time catch for a first down.
Yeah, I think his name's Charlie Becker.
Yes.
And he made that first long catch, that 50 some yarder. So I think they had a receiver who was out with an injury. So this pretty impressive if he's the third back, our third receiver. I know I'm going a little backwards as far as, but let's talk about that final touchdown catch, which was just incredible. Starting with Mendoza, he was getting blitzed, he was getting hit consistently, and he was being rushed on that play, got the pass off, put it pretty much the only place he could put it. And the receiver, Mike, that's about as good a catch as you're going to see, being able to get his feet down, because I think he actually got both feet to tack in the end zone before going out. About as good a catch as you're going to see.
Yeah, when it comes to body control and the footwork, it was incredible. And then, like, when you look at Wheatley's arm trying to punch that ball out,
he
just misses him. Because of the receiver was able to tuck it away and just missed that punch, and just imagine, just, you know, you talk about it's a game of inches, right? And it's that difference right there. If he gets there a second earlier, he may punch that ball out, and he doesn't make that catch. Not only does he make the catch, then he has the ability and athleticism to get those feet. And that was incredible. That was absolutely incredible. I've never seen anything like that.
It was, and the press box is down at that end of the field, so we got a great view of it, and you could see the receiver. He made a tremendous play. The best part of his play was somehow getting his feet into the end zone, because logically there should have been no way for him to do that. His body control while in the air was just absolutely crazy. And while we're, you know, singing praises, and I am typically the last guy in the world who will sing the praises of college football officials, refs, especially from the Big Ten. Okay, you don't have to say a word about it. I will. Believe me, I think they're awful at times. That official was right on top of the play and called it correctly. I think a lot of times it's easy to anticipate. And if he anticipated where the receiver was going to come down, he should have anticipated him being out of the end zone. But he waited. His head was right on it, you know, looking at the feet. And he made the right call on the field.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him that. I'm going to say he got lucky as hell. It was too quick, too bang, bang, and to be able to see him catch the ball and also see the feet. I don't buy it. I think he's lucky, and congrats to him getting lucky.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's probably more of our listeners who will agree with you that it was luck. But also, now we're talking about Mendoza. Mike, it wasn't just that last pass play. You know, Penn State's defense was getting to him. They were blitzing, put a lot of pressure on him. They got the ball back with less than 2 minutes to go, and they had to go to the length of the field. Well, in fact, they started, I guess, at the 20, and the first play was a sack, and it's now second and 17. So, you know, if you're judging a quarterback, you're talking about that it factor. Yeah. I think the greatest measure of the it factor of a quarterback is that game-winning drive with less than 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think what I saw is that they saw they could take advantage of the seams, the hashes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they hit it earlier in the second half. And I think it was there a lot of the game. So they went back to it. So they hit the verticals and the seams, and it was there. And it was still it was a tough hole that he had a drop in, but he was still able to hit them. I think he hit those shots like two or three times that were big in that second half, in that fourth quarter.
And, you know, this goes a little bit back to our discussions on Friday when we were talking about building a team. And Kurt Cignetti has done a fantastic job, an incredible job, taking, you know, this Indiana program with where it was to where it is. And, you know, I keep mentioning this, though. Any of these coaches that you talk about doing a great job, let me translate that for you. They've got a quarterback doing a great job.
And you know what? I'll also say, like him or not, you know, he is who he is, right? And like his, I guess if you want to call it arrogance or brashness or he's very confident. That translates to those players. That's how those players play, pretty confident. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, he's brought that to that team, and you can see that that's how they're playing. Like, those receivers, the offensive line, like, that unit, the offensive unit, they play confidently. That defensive unit plays confidently. And, it's kind of cool to see that. And that's how Mendoza is. He's going to be a confident dude.
Well, and, you know, that's why I often say, it's like, do you give Cignetti credit for – scouting quarterbacks really well, developing quarterbacks really well, or he just got really lucky in the portal? He's 2 for 2 in picking out quarterbacks from the portal. It was Curtis Rourke last year, Mendoza this year, and they both had, you know, incredible seasons for him.
Yeah, no, I think he has the track record that proves that he's all of that. You know, he has an eye for talent and evaluations, and he's able to get those guys and then develop them and turn them into good players. Kind of like, a guy I work for, Mike Leach. Say what you want about him, very different. But he can develop the hell out of quarterbacks. And quarterbacks that aren't necessarily, primetime guys coming out of high school. You know, they're guys that, you know, were left on the beaten path. And, you know, he brings them up and he's able to get them. And I got to see it real time, and it was pretty neat. But, yeah, that's kind of how Cignetti is to me a little bit. And I got to talk to a couple of my friends that work there now, and they said that is who he is. You know, who he is in those interviews, that's who he is as a coach every single day. He's kind of just blue-collar guy. So it was interesting to hear that feedback from him.
I also, you talked about his brashness, arrogance, whatever you want to call it. you played at that level of college football. Like, if you're a player, you got to love that in your coach.
Yeah, most are, right? Most good teams.
You know, successful ones, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I played for Rich Rodriguez. I mean, talk about a guy. He got after him. He was but that's how we played too, though. Like, he was, you know, hard nose, and that's how we played. And most teams, they are somewhat of a reflection. They are a reflection of that head coach.
It's got to make it fun. You know, I want to tap into your recruiting background. You talk oftentimes to us about the quarterback having the it factor. How do you scout that and recruit the it factor?
It's throughout the process of recruiting a guy. Now, you get to know them. You get to be around them. You go to events with them. You go to basketball games, baseball games with them. You go to dinner with them. You get to see how they are. You get to see how people are around them. Do people just naturally, you know, are attracted to this person? How is he? Has he talked? Does he talk older than he really is? Does he just have a confidence in himself when he is talking? Does he play other sports? How is he at basketball? Is he running point? Is he demand of the field? Is it like all that stuff? Like, is kind of you look for, you know, like just a captain type of guy. When you're looking for a quarterback, you get him to camp, you coach him up, you know, Danny O'Brien sees him. Is he coachable? Is he able to, how is he interacting with other campers and other players? You go to this game, you evaluate his game. How is he with the coaches between series? How is he with the kids between series? I mean, all of that, you got to look at, it's all of that.
You know it when you see it. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. It's quarter number three of our show. I'm Jim. He is Executive Director at HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, we spent a lot of time talking quarterbacks, not just on the Penn State side, but also at Indiana, what they had going on. A lot more to this game than just that quarterback. We finally saw the resurgence of Nick Singleton. Definitely a big factor, and boy, was that great to see.
Yeah, I thought Nick had a little bit more patience. Kind of what you see with Katron, he doesn't hit that gap like right away or hit the hole right away. He kind of lets the blocking develop a little bit more. You see that in running backs more so than some. But I thought Nick had a little bit more patience to his game yesterday, which helped him, you know, hit some of those gaps and hit those goals or those holes. And it was good to see him. Those that explosive play. It was just exciting to see him back to, you know, how we're used to seeing Nick. There's a lot of different things that Cole Nicky does, man, to try to confuse those defenses, and it's tough to be gap sound if that's your scheme going up against Cole Nicky. I mean, he multiple unbalanced formations. You had like eight linemen out there. You had Vanga and Shelton displaced, and they're split out. You know, yeah. it's he does all kinds of weird things that definitely can jack up teams. That probably was the reason, had a little bit of reason why Nick had a good game yesterday.
Well, can you said you got a chance to watch the game live for a change, or at least part of it, but you also reviewed the game tape. How about walking us through that long run that Nick had and explain what opened things up for him?
Yeah, to me, that run, obviously the left side, the center and all the guard and tackle on the left side, I'm pretty sure there was a tight end over there, but if not, but you know, they basically kind of just washed down the defenders, and it was a read option for Gronk, and Gronk, that defensive end, that player that was continuing to be an issue, he was able to hold them on the exchange, and that really kind of freed him up. And you know, the left side of the offensive line did a really good job blocking him up, and that kind of got him out. And then he was able to do what he does when he gets to the second level. He's explosive and one of the best in the country.
When you say, you know, he's held the defensive end, that is him not giving the ball up early. It's holding the ball like in the running back's gut long enough where that player, he has to respect that the quarterback might hold on to the ball, right?
Yeah, the longer a quarterback is able to hold through the mesh, the harder it is for a defensive player to make a decision.
Yeah, that was wonderful to see him be effective. The other part of the game, and I'm going back a little bit to Ethan Grunkmeyer being able to throw the ball, is does that not also, with the defense having to respect that also opens – everything is interdependent. If you can show that you can throw the ball, that's going to ease things up a bit for Catron Allen and Nick Singleton.
Yeah, but also I mentioned it to you too, like, just to me, it's just my opinion, when you know you get all these like these complicated like, to me they're not complicated, but they're just, you got these all these tight ends in there, you got all these extra tackles and a lot of linemen in there, and that brings everybody in the box. So just naturally it's harder to get a hat on a hat, right? So yeah, that's why, like, that's just like preference wise, right? Like some teams, like they completely agree with that, so they run a very spread offense, right? Or you have teams like us and coordinators like Colt Mackey and, you know, the Michigans of the world, that they don't care. They want to grind and pound that ball like old school. So yeah, it's preference, but I don't know. I just think it's tough for offensive line and to really scheme up and get a hat on a hat and, I don't know, consistently. But that's just me.
There's definitely a lot of those formations. It's got to also make the defense maybe hesitate a step. All right, where are my responsibilities? And they're not just carefree. I want to hit on something. You and I talked about this a little bit before we started recording. A game, it's an old saying, you know, every game that's reasonably close can turn on 2, 3, 4 plays, and you can pick those out. And it's a little bit of cherry picking, but in that first half, and it seems like Penn State has not had any of these things go their way, 2 plays specifically in that first half, and it's timing. Holding penalties happen on DBs. It happens. But when it happens, when it's 3rd and long and you sack the quarterback, boy, is that a game changer. And that's what happened to Penn State there in the first half, Mike.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But, you know, I thought we responded well throughout the game. I didn't think it was too sloppy of a game. You know, other guys that I thought had huge plays was King Mack. On that interception, I thought he did a heck of a job. That was a throw that I think, you know, that Mendoza thought he could make. And just going back to the film today, I just thought King Mack did a hell of a job of closing in and getting underneath that route. Because I don't think that player, that receiver, thought that anybody was going to come underneath him and make that play. But yeah, that was huge. Obviously, sparked the comeback. And then also King Mack. I love when we blitz King Mack. he does a great job. And so when he was blitzing, I know he wasn't making the sacks every time, but he was causing hell for the quarterback. That's another thing about Mendoza too. Like, we were getting after him, but it really wasn't affecting him. Like, he stayed cool and calm. He didn't look like he was ever going to panic. So, like, kudos to him.
Well, you're right. That's a really good quarterback. And a couple of first of all, King Mack is a very fast player, right? Isn't he one of those 4-3 guys?
Yeah, I don't even know if he's like a big 4-3 guy, but he plays fast. I think he's smart. So the high IQ football player allows him to play faster than maybe what he really is. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously fast. So I was really happy with King Mack, seeing him. I thought the D-line, I thought everybody, you know, nobody was perfect out there yesterday, but I thought they did play hard. And, you know, shout out to Terry, you know, leading the team and getting the play like they did yesterday. I thought it was really good. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool listening Terry talk about, you know, like he had a moment. He's like, man, this is where Joe Pa ran out. I'm doing the same thing. I thought it was kind of cool perspective for him to say that.
Well, it's nice for the old time Penn State fans. That's me at 65 years old. You know, you have a long history and so many great memories. But I also, this, I can't remember, I don't have in front of me in my notes the numbers for previous games, but it seemed like the defense was, as a whole, was playing faster, Mike. The numbers, I think, reflect some of it. They had 3 sacks, and as I mentioned earlier, they had one of them taken away because of the defensive holding, and 8 tackles for loss. This was more of what we were expecting to see from this defense.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe I just have really high expectations. And, you know, I said it from the beginning. I'll admit I was wrong. I thought the D-line was really going to carry us through this year. And obviously it just hasn't worked out that way up to this point. But they did. I thought they came into play yesterday. It's like what they're doing from a scheme thing is like, you know, I just think they're getting more comfortable in this scheme as the season goes on. You know, we had that bye week. They were able to go back and you know, attack some issues and keep working on this scheme. And we've heard it, right, when we hired Coach Knowles. You know, you heard it from all those Ohio State fans. It's a complicated defense, so it's going to take some time for players to understand it. But you can see that they're starting to play a little bit faster. They're more comfortable out there. So, yeah, but there's a ton of games. Like, I don't know if people understand, like Durant, like, I feel like I never see Durant not slanting, right? And somebody else happened to come in, whether it's a safety or a more times than not, a linebacker filling the gap. Just a ton of movement, which is tough, right? It's tough for defenses or for offenses. But sometimes that can also get you in trouble too, right? If you know, you leave one gap and that guy responsible for the gap that he's just left doesn't fill that gap or fill it in time, you know, it can cause holes and you can get caught sometimes. But, I was happy with the defense. I was happy with Zion, too. You know, Zion, he got lucky a little bit, too, when Fernando threw a dime and it should have been caught. But he dropped it. But I thought, you know, in the run game and playing safety, I thought he made some good plays on the screen, on the perimeter. I liked it. I thought the backside of the defense played a lot better than they have all year.
Well, also, and again, you've got to understand it's against a very good offense. This is an offense that put up half 100 in its last 2 games, okay? So, yes, you're not – I thought I liked what Terry – interviewed after the game, I forget what the nature of the question was. It was kind of a sympathetic or empathetic question. Gee, considering, and Terry's saying, well, it starts with you want to win first, okay? That's so we fell short. But I think with that said, you had a really high-powered offense there that you, I think you could say, was held to 27 points. And that last drive, I said it earlier, but boy, I was really impressed with that quarterback, Mendoza. And to me, that, you know, with less than 2 minutes to go And I think they scored the touchdown in less than a minute and a half. They marched it all the way down the field. So you were going up against a very good team.
Yeah. And you know what? I thought we had a chance, too.
Yes.
You know, we still did. And I was surprised by the squib kick that they did, you know, because that gave us probably at least an extra 10, 15 yards, depending if how he would have, you know, kicked it out back to the end zone. But I thought that was a snake on their part because that gave us a short field.
I'm really glad you brought it up because I was thinking the same thing, because you have to score. All you need is a field goal.
Right.
So you really shortened that field for Penn State. I'm glad you brought that up. It shows, Mike, two smart minds working the same way here between you and I. That's why I lobbied you. If I get this coaching gig, you're my general manager. If I
keep
get
me on the short list, I'll start preparing my interview, my PowerPoints.
All right. When we come back, we'll explain to our listeners what we're talking about. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim, he's Mike. It's quarter number four of our show. For those of you who don't know what I was referencing at the end of the third quarter, on our show Friday, our live show with Mike and with Chris Buchanani, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, had a great time. We talked a lot about coaching, but we were making reference. There's been about 1,000 names mentioned as potential candidates for the Penn State coaching job. I figured, hey, I want to throw my hat in the ring. I send my resume on to Pat Kraft. We'll see what happens. We're also talking about how important the general manager position is. And if I get the head coaching gig, I'm giving the GM job to my buddy Mike here. So we're running for the job as a team. So I'll keep our audience up to date as I get updated information on my candidacy for the position. But I'll tell you what, though, I think it's pretty obvious Terry Smith has been listening to our show. I've been harping on him not to protect Ethan Grunkmeyer so much, but let him throw the ball down the field. Terry obviously listened, Mike, and we saw some great success. So kidding aside, I think also we've got to understand that this is a new gig for Terry also. I think he's well regarded as a great recruiter, a great position coach, but this head coaching at this level, I felt this was the best job also that he did. I thought he did a great job this weekend with the team.
Yeah, you know, I go back from my first stint here with Terry and getting to know him, his son Justin, his whole family. He's awesome. He's everybody that everybody's seeing right now. That for the people that didn't know Terry before this, really, he's a true Penn Stater. He's a phenomenal human, great guy to be around. And that's just not from a player standpoint. It's also all those people in that building love Terry. All you know, the secretaries, the interns, the support staff, you won't hear a bad thing about Terry. And it doesn't matter what time of day it is or where you're at. You could always go up to Terry and just chit chat, and it's always usually positive. He's just a very positive guy. But also the other thing about Terry too, he's good at having hard conversations. For you guys that don't know, like he has been he's key in the recruiting. So you know, Andy Frank, Coach Franklin in the past, you know, all recruiting really kind of goes through them, right? So like,
sure,
if there's something that Coach wants Terry to handle, it'll be Terry, Andy handle it, how they want to, you know, go about things. And Terry will talk to the staff about, you know, some hard conversation type of stuff when it came to recruiting that people, you know, don't want to have. But he would do it, and he would do it in a way that it would create really good dialogue and back and forth. And those hard conversations you have to have in order, you know, to succeed in multiple areas in a football program. So he does a really good job at that. Like, that's like a, you know, a skill set that's hard to learn, but he does a good job with that. Everybody respects him. Players do. So I was really happy to see. I was, hoping we could pull it off, but I think what he's done and the position that he's been in, it's an impossible job. It's impossible. You know,
Yeah, I agree. It's such a tough position to be in. And also a part of this whole equation, it's also the fan base. And, you know, not to dredge up the history here going on, but it had reached a point where James Franklin lost the fan base. Okay. What I thought was wonderful, this particular game, if you were there, the crowd was so positive for the first time, maybe all season. You know what I mean? There was no more. This game actually did not count as far as Penn State's not going to the playoffs. They're not going to win the Big Ten. We know all that. The fan base was there just to watch this game. And literally, actually, from the Indiana standpoint, if they had lost this game, they're probably not going to lose any of their games that are left. It's probably the difference between them being 12-0 and 11-1 and still in the playoffs. I'm going a long way, Mike, to just say it was kind of nice to watch a game that all it meant was winning or losing that specific game on that specific Saturday. And I thought the fan base was really engaged.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I'm responding to this just because I just feel like I've seen it from a different angle, that to an extreme. I feel like, just because with everything that's happened, and not just take away what's happened with Penn State the last month, just look at the landscape of college football, right? You're seeing a change. We talked about this last Friday, but you're seeing this change and this urgency to win now, and the Cignettis of the world kind of screwing up things, and you got the agents. The Jimmy Sextons of the world. So you got this conversation. So I'm a big sports talk radio guy. That's all I listen to. Big XM guy, listen to all that stuff. And every show for the past couple of weeks on Monday, it's been about a coaching fire. Right? Who's the next? Who's on the board, the hot board for this coach? It hasn't been necessarily about the games, which – the game and the product has been awesome this season, but we're still talking about coaching fires. Who do the fans want? Who do the ADs want? ADs getting fired. That's the conversation every single day. And then to add it, you know, for me personally, you know, I'm affected by it because, you know, our head coach was just let go, somebody that, you know, hired me. So it's like, all right, well, what's going to happen at Penn State now? All right. What's the future hold for us? You know, the systems and everything, are they going to change? So you got all that uncertainty. So to have a game, an actual game, and us to come on here and talk football is so refreshing, because I hate the business out of it. And obviously we talked about it last Friday. It's I think somebody said it a long time ago. It's an unbelievable profession. It's the best, right? If you get in it, you love it, you get addicted to it, but it's a terrible business, right? It's just, but you go into it knowing it. And like I told you and Chris, like I, me and my wife and family and everybody else in that building, you go into it knowing this is a possibility. So it's just part of the game. But that being said, when it goes and you're able to talk about football and what a great game and nitpick at little things on the football field, that's awesome. And that was good to see yesterday. I think I saw the final attendance was like 105,000. But I don't know. Like you still see things like on social media and, you know, Chris says it and he said, you know, Twitter isn't real, but a lot of people are on Twitter and a lot of people like get clicks and stuff. And I saw people throwing out there, oh, not many people are at this game. It was 105,000 people there, guys. And the crowd was loud as they've been all year. It was just an awesome, because I think people are hungry for just talk football and talk about, you know, how bright the future is for Gronkemeyer and how better the defense played this week. And, you know, that's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about Jim Galani's hot board. You know, I don't want to talk about that.
Well, you hit it exactly, Mike. And it's interesting now, being part of the media, I'm in the press box watching the game, and the conversations with the people around me, it was about this game. And those last two drives, Indiana's last possession scoring, then Penn State getting the ball back with a chance to get into field goal position, there were several guys, they were out of their seats standing, and you don't cheer, you don't do that inside the press box, but you could just see the expressions on the face. And I don't want to name the person, but there was a member of the Penn State staff there who I saw as, you know, Penn State got the lead, the physical reaction without having to audibleize it, you know, because they couldn't say do it out loud. And also at the third quarter break before the fourth quarter, there's an area where you could walk outside and it's open to the people in the suites. And so you could be outside and actually absorb some of the atmosphere of what was going on, Mike. This crowd, they were just enjoying a great football game at that point. It became exactly why we love this sport, because it was a great college football game. And I know, like I said, there aren't moral victories. This is big time business now. But you know what? At that moment, it was just about a football game. Didn't matter that these guys were getting paid.
Yeah, because everybody just wants to win. I think just people are just tired. Like I just talked about it. It's been nonstop, like negativity and what, who's coaching where, who's getting fired, all that. Like it's just at some point, it's about the game. Right. And I think people finally are just like, all right, well, let's get back to football. Terry's doing a good job keeping these guys playing hard. It was good to see. It was a 12 o'clock game. We're in November now, and I thought the weather was amazing for a November game. Just the tailgating scene was, awesome, like always. The vibe inside, I thought, was good inside the stadium. And then, you go out to the field, and it was great. It was great. It was refreshing. It really was. And then, you talked about the staff member, and that triggered something to me. It was like, the fans and the media, they get to magnify all the different narratives and talk on everything, and that's their job. The people in the building, they want to win more than anybody. Right. Especially the people in the building the last month, it's been really hard for them. It's a weird, tough time for them. They're doing a phenomenal job of just, keeping the head down and grinding away. But they want to win. They want that taste back in their mouth, a win. The office is always different coming off a win, obviously, because when you lose or win, you have that feeling for you until, Wednesday or basically, because if you lose, it's Saturday night. It's, why do they lose? Sunday, it's like, oh, why do they lose? And then, you talk to the coach, from a media perspective. So you got to revisit that again. Then Monday at the 12 o'clock press conference, you relive that again. And then Tuesday, I think, yeah, the media's out there again. So honestly, like losses, you don't get that feeling off until like Thursday.
That is it. Even for the fans, Mike, even for the fans. All right. That's going to have to be the final word. Thank you, Mike. Thank you all for tuning in. Join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.